Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
It's challenging. So quarantine life is very difficult. And so as I was praying and as I was thinking about this service, our first service officially back in person, I went on a hunt. I went on an investigation in God's Word to see Old Testament and New Testament at different situations where men and women faced quarantine, where men and women were locked up, maybe even in prison. And how did they handle that? Because I don't know about you, but I haven't been handling it very well. And so I need some help. Like, doesn't it even just feel good to get out of your house this Sunday? Like, it's just great to see people that you haven't seen in a couple of months. And so I went on a hunt in God's Word, and God brought me, I believe, to Acts chapter 16. And we're going to read something incredible and powerful that I think is going to encourage you. So if you wanted to be discouraged, you should have stayed home and watched the news, because I'm going to encourage you in God's house. Anybody want to be encouraged today? Okay, I'm going to encourage some people. But Acts chapter 16 is where we're going to land, and we're going to start in verse 22. I'm going to read all the way through verse 34, and I'm going to read out of the Passion Translation. But if you don't have a copy of God's Word, or you don't have that translation, it'll be on the screen if you're in the room. Acts chapter 16, starting in verse 22, and here's what God's Word says. A great crowd gathered, and all the people joined in to come against them. The Roman officials ordered that Paul and Silas be stripped of their garments and beaten with rods on their bare backs. After they were severely beaten, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them securely. So the jailer placed them in the innermost cell of the prison and had their feet bound and chained. Verse 25. Paul and Silas, undaunted, prayed in the middle of the night and sang songs of praise to God. Isn't that awesome? While all the other prisoners listened to their worship. Suddenly, a great earthquake shook the foundations of the prison. All at once, every prison door flung open, and the chains of all the prisoners came loose. Startled, the jailer awoke and saw every cell door standing open. Assuming that all the prisoners had escaped, he drew his sword. He was about to kill himself when Paul shouted from the darkness, "Stop! Don't hurt yourself. We're all still here." The jailer called for a light, and when he saw that they were still in their cells, he rushed in and he fell trembling at their feet. Then he led Paul and Silas outside and asked, "What must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and all your family." Then they prophesied the word of the Lord over him and all his family. Even though the hour was late, he washed their wounds. Then he and all his family were baptized. He took Paul and Silas into his home and set them at his table, and he fed them. Last verse, verse 34. The jailer and all his family were filled with joy in their newfound faith in God. For those that are taking notes, and if you're not taking notes, for those that are going to take notes, you should jot this down. Here's my title, Prison Break, okay? Some of y'all are going to break out of your prison today, so get excited, get ready, okay? I'm calling this message Prison Break. Let's pray again. God, I pray that you would ready the 11 a.m. service here in person and also online. Ready them. I've got a word burning a hole in my heart for them. So I pray that you would remind them today that this message is not for their spouse, their friend, or their kids. This message is for them. I pray you put a bullseye on their soul right now, and that you hit them heavy and hard with this holy word, that they would leave this place changed because of your holy written word. God, may every ear hear what you have to say. May you move powerfully. May even now you build up great expectation in their hearts and in their lives, that this word is exactly what they need. Not because it's coming from a man, a pastor, but because you, Holy Spirit, will use it to change their life. May it move in power. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to give you all permission, like right from the beginning of the message, to amen me, okay? Like, it's been hard preaching to empty, empty seats. Lots of empty seats these last 2 months. So if you got any kind of emotion, like in a good way towards me, would you help a brother out and would you say amen? Honestly, like the digital amens were great, but I don't need them right now. I need some in-person amens. So we're going to have some fun together. So I got 2 points for you. Here's the first one. Write this down. Something that we can learn from what happened to them. It can help us today. Number one, your weapons are spiritual. I'm jumping right into it. Your weapons, not talking about who you came in with today. If you came in with somebody, I'm talking to you. Your weapons are spiritual. We see this in verse 25 amongst a lot of other places in God's holy word. And speaking of God's holy word, don't you love the detail that we get here in Acts chapter 16? Like above and beyond. We don't just find out that they got thrown in prison. We find out where they are placed in the prison. We find out what's going on while they're in prison. It's very detailed. Now, what we didn't read was why they ended up in prison to begin with. And so for time's sake, I'm just going to highlight what happened. Because Paul and Silas were not in jail because they partied the night before too hard. Paul and Silas were not in jail because they went past curfew or they went to a non-essential place. Like, that's not why they were put in prison. We find out earlier in Acts chapter 16 that as they were going about ministering in the city, there was a young woman following them. And that's kind of creepy to begin with, but it gets creepier because that young woman was demon-possessed and she was shouting at them. Can you imagine going about your day and having a young woman walking around past you, beside you, behind you, and shouting at you? And the Bible tells us, I love the detail, the Apostle Paul, he was annoyed. And I think we could all say the same thing if that was happening to us. Like, he was annoyed. And so what did he do? You'll read it in the text if you read earlier in chapter 16. He simply turns around, he casts the demon out in Jesus' name. Now, you would think that the town would celebrate, right? Like, this young woman is set free. Like, this is amazing. I'm sure she did this to a lot of other people. You would think they would celebrate, but they didn't. And here's the reason why. The reason why is because she was a slave. And so her handlers were making money off of her. And so they no longer could make money off of her. And because she was set free, it made them mad. Do you know anybody like that in your life? That like something good happens and your friend who should be happy for you is secretly mad about it because they want your blessing. So they're mad. They're upset. And so literally you can read this. They create a mob in the middle of the city. And the mob has that mob mentality where they gang up on Paul and Silas. But it's not just the mob. The leaders of the city, they get in on it too. They do not give a fair trial and they throw Paul and Silas in prison. This is why they're locked up. This is why they're in solitary confinement. Do you remember reading that a moment ago? They were placed in the innermost cell by themselves. So solitary confinement, you could put it this way, they were literally in maximum security. And it's amazing to me, and maybe to you, that in the middle of their prison sentence here, they were beaten. They were tired, I'm sure. They were hungry. They were hurting. In the middle of all of this, one detail we will not find in the story is that they did not complain. Like, you can't find complaining in this story. Now, how many of y'all know we've been complaining a lot in the middle of our quarantine? Like, I won't speak for you. I've been complaining a lot during my quarantine. Like, it's been tough. It's been hard. And their imprisonment makes our quarantine seem like a walk in the park, if we could be real. Like, nobody's beating us with rods, taking away our clothes. Like, I know it feels like you're in solitary confinement at your house or your apartment, but you are allowed to leave, you know? And so, like, what happened to them is, like, so much more than what's happening to us, yet you will not find one word of complaining to each other or to God. What did they do instead? They worshiped and they prayed. If you got a copy of God's word, I would find those two words. I would circle them. I would highlight them. If you have a tablet, don't do that because that could get really bad for your device. But take note of that. They worshiped and they praised. they did not complain. Like, let's just get real honest. All of us, we've been watching a lot more Netflix than we normally have before. And whenever we get to like episode 13, binge watching that show on Netflix, and God forbid we get that little buffer circle, you know what I'm talking about? Y'all know we be complaining about the hashtag first world problems, right? I cannot believe God. AT&T. Like, how many times they come out to my house? How much I pay them every, I cannot believe. God, do you see this? I need my internet. Of course, I'm talking for a friend. This is not my life. Heard this story last week, you know. Like, we complain. Like, oh, God. I had trouble in my marriage before, but this is tough. Like tough. We talked about sickness and in health. This is sickness, God. We need some help. Oh, my kids, I know they're blessings. They're arrows in my quiver, God. But I want to shoot those arrows in the other direction. I couldn't make that joke earlier because my kids were in the room. I love my kids. I really do. I love my kids. I got the best kids. I know your parent says that, but all the other parents are wrong. I'm right. I love my kids. I really do. But like it's tough, and we complain. But Paul and Silas, you won't find one word of complaint. Instead, what did they do? They worshiped and they prayed. What did they realize? They were not fighting this battle in the physical. They were fighting this battle in the spiritual. And can I tell you something? That's not just Paul and Silas. That's you, friend. Your battles are not physical. They are spiritual. And so here's the question. The battle that you face, and if you're not facing a battle, you will. Spoiler alert. But the battle that you face, are you using physical weapons to get out of that situation? Or are you using spiritual weapons during your situation? Like, ask yourself that question honestly. And if I could put myself in that situation, just being real transparent, I would have complained, not just to God, but anybody else that could hear me. I would have complained. I would have thrown a pity party. I cannot believe, God, I was serving you. I helped this young girl. I cannot believe, God, I'm not in this for the money. Like, I'm here to serve people, and here I am. Like I would have complained. I would have tried to escape that prison. Y'all know Shawshank Redemption? I would have got a spoon and tried to tunnel my way out of that jail cell. This is a really good one. This is one of my personal favorites. Y'all remember The Count of Monte Cristo? I'd pretend like I was dead so they could get me out, and then I'd swim away. And if you haven't seen that movie, it's been out for decades, y'all. That's your fault, not my fault. It's a great movie. Count of Monte Cristo. Y'all love me, don't you? I love you. You're like, no. Hey, that the guy that played Jesus in The Passion, that was Jesus before he was Jesus in The Passion. Jim Caviezel, I think. Great movie. Your weapons are spiritual. They didn't complain. I would have complained. They didn't throw a pity party. I would have thrown a pity party. What did they do? They worshiped and they praise. They worship God not because of their jail cell. They worship God because they said, God, I don't want to be here, but if I am here, use what you can use. What if we had that philosophy, that mindset during quarantine? All this mess, again, I don't care what side you're on one extreme or the other. What if we all came to a place where we had eternal perspective that, yes, I do not like this quarantine. Yes, I want to go back to normal, whatever that looks like in the future. But God, if you can use my pain, use my pain. In fact, your pain is a microphone. And people are listening to how you respond and how you operate in the middle of this. So let me ask you that question again. In the middle of your battle, what weapons are you using? Like, you don't need a pickaxe or a spoon to tunnel your way out. You need to get on your knees in your prayer closet, and you need to go after God. You need to worship God. You need to praise God. You need to go all in. Stop complaining to God about your problem and start praising God even in the middle of your problem. Somebody better hold me back. I'm going to come at y'all today. I told First Service the same thing. Like, hold me back. 6 feet, Pastor. See, I'm going to come down there if I got to, because God put this word in my heart for you. This is your word. Your weapons are spiritual. Your battle is spiritual. You need to worship. You need to praise God. Here's point number two. If you're taking notes, write this down. Remember, if you're not taking notes, write this down too. Number two, your bad break can actually be your breakthrough. That's my favorite point. Anybody want that point? Snag it right now from the air. If you don't want it, I'll take it. I took it in first service. I'll take it again in second service. Your bad break can actually be your breakthrough. I love how Paul and Silas, they kept eternal perspective. So good, so challenging, so convicting for me and maybe for you. They're like, you know, I wouldn't have chosen to be here, God. Like we didn't go to the jail because we wanted to go visit. Like they weren't going there to do prison ministry. Y'all understand that, right? Like they did not want to be there. Nobody would. Nobody voluntarily says, you know what? I'm going to go to prison today. Go hang out. No. Doesn't happen. Never happened in the history of mankind. They didn't want to be there, but they kept eternal perspective. They didn't complain to God. They said, God, if you can use it, use it. They worshiped and they prayed. And this is what I think is really fascinating. And I think this is going to change the way you read this text. Remember the detail that we read. Not only were they worshiping, not only were they praying to God. Remember, they were in solitary confinement, maximum security, innermost cell. Their feet were shackled. The Bible tells us that in the middle of their worship session, in the middle of their prayer closet, they're in prison. What did we read? Other prisoners heard. It's going to change the way you read the text. Other prisoners heard. They couldn't see them because they were in solitary confinement. Other prisoners heard their prayer, heard their worship. That's in the text, but let me give you some subtext. It's not there, but I don't think it's a giant leap to say what I'm about to say. I personally believe that the volume of their worship, the intensity of their prayer, that it was at an all-time high. Well, how could you take that leap? Here's how. Because other prisoners heard them. I don't think it's a giant leap. Like the Bible says, they didn't have any clothes on, okay? So we read that. So they didn't have any pockets. Well, let's just pretend for a moment. Some of us, we come into worship and got hands and pockets. And we're so timid. And I'm worshiping on the inside, Pastor. Sure you are. You're just thinking about how much you miss sports. I miss them too. This is time to worship the Lord. They didn't have hands in pockets, metaphorically. They didn't have their head down. Just swaying a little bit, the music. Kumbaya, my Lord. Kumbaya. I don't think that happened. I think instead, as much as they could move, they moved. I think instead, their volume was lifted up. It matched the intensity of the situation that they were in. They were loud and audacious with their worship. They didn't care if other people heard it. In fact, I bet they liked that other people heard their worship. I can imagine the prisoners murmuring to themselves, "Do you hear that? Do you hear that? Aren't those guys that we heard about from the other guards that they were preaching Jesus and they shouldn't even be here? Aren't those guys that they helped that woman and yet a mob still rose up? And aren't those guys they shouldn't be praising, but they're praising anyways?" They heard. They listened. I want you to catch this too. This is a game changer. The Bible says, we read this. This is in the text. The Bible said that when they worshiped and when they praised, not only did their chains fall off, but everybody else's chains fell off too. Somebody better hold me back. I'm coming for you. Can you tell I haven't preached to a live room in 2 months before? Their chains fell off, but everybody else's chains fell off. Their bad break, friend, led to a breakthrough, not just for them, but for everybody else. I just wonder today, would you have the audacity the boldness that even though your situation is terrible, that you would lift a song of worship, that you get on your knees before God and pray. And as other people around you come into contact with you, not only would your chains fall off, but theirs would too. Some of you, your breakthrough is not just for you, it's for somebody else. It's for your family. You've been praying for your cousin who's addicted to drugs. Stop focusing on them when you start going after God. Get in your prayer closet. You pray and you worship and you watch those chains come off. It's interesting. The Bible never says, you won't find it in the text, it never says that they prayed and they worshiped God to get broken out of prison. Did you notice that? We read it a moment ago. It doesn't say that. Their focus was not on their situation. Their focus was on Jesus. Hey, God, you were with us in the streets as we ministered, and you're with us in solitary confinement. If you can use us in the streets, you'll use us in the prison. So, God, if you can use it, use it. They worshiped. They praised. I didn't say this in first service, but I'm going to say it here. If you're taking notes, write this down. Your present pain could be the exact thing God uses to bring you progress if you'll start to have the right perspective. Did you receive that today? I'm going to say it again. If you're taking notes, jot this down. It's proven by science. 100% of people who take notes go to heaven. Your present pain could be the exact thing God uses to bring you progress if you'll start to have the right perspective. So yes, you lost your job. Yes, your marriage is crumbling. You haven't grown closer with your family. You couldn't be more apart even in the same space. I get all of that. But what if it's not a setback? What if it's a setup for a miracle? Like what if it's a setup for God writing a beautiful testimony through your trial? What if it's a setup for God to do a miracle in your life that you've been praying for years? Like, what if your bad break could actually, literally lead to your breakthrough? If you would just worship, and if you would just pray, and if you would just seek God, some of you would finally break out of that prison that you've been stuck in. And I'm not talking about a home any longer or an apartment any longer. Some of you have been caught in a secret addiction. You've been struggling mentally and nobody else knows but you and God. And today you could have your breakthrough if you take your eyes off yourself and your pain, and you would use your pain as a microphone to worship Jesus and go after God, and you would see your chains. Would see them fall off. Let's pray. Come on, every head bowed, please. Pray for everybody in this room, everybody watching online. Whether they're a seasoned saint or a new believer, or maybe they don't believe at all. Pray for every single person. It's not coincidence that they're here. It's not coincidence that they logged on online. It's not coincidence. I pray, God, you would encourage your people. I pray, God, that this holy text from Acts chapter 16, I pray, God, that they'd receive it. And not just read the word, but ask the word right now to read them. To apply it to their lives. I just believe with all my heart leading up to today that there's been people here, people, you've been trying to fight your battle in the physical. I can tell you something, a spreadsheet is not going to get you to that victory line. I can tell you right now, another budget meeting is not going to get you to that victory line. I can tell you right now, you need to start fighting that battle in the spiritual. You can't change that person. You can't. Only God can. So stop, this is for somebody, stop taking a water pistol to a gunfight. You will lose that battle. And friend, you were never meant to lose that battle. And you start fighting in the spiritual. I want to pray for somebody else, another group of people, that you've been so consumed, so caught up in what you can't do right now. And I'm with you. I'm ready for things to open back up. I want it. I want things to normalize. But God wants to get you back to the place of eternal perspective. He wants to get me back to that place. God, I don't like where I am, but if you can use it, use it. God, I'd rather be doing something else. I'd rather be somewhere else, but if you can use it, use it. God, I don't see how you're working. I'm limited. I can only see with my natural eyes, but help me right now to see with my spiritual eyes. That maybe, just maybe, the difficulty that I face, it's not a setback, it's a setup. And if I could fast forward a month from now, 6 months from now, and look back, I would see your faithfulness. But before the miracle, help us to praise you. Before the miracle, may our faith rise up to believe again. That as we put our eyes and our focus on you, you'll come through. You'll come through. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lastly, I want to pray for anybody in this room, anybody watching online, listening online, that you've never surrendered your life to Jesus. Talk about breakthrough. That's your breakthrough today. You can't fix yourself. I wish church attendance would get you through those pearly gates, but it doesn't. I wish tithing faithfully got you through those pearly gates, but it doesn't. I wish being a good person got you through those pearly gates, but it doesn't. The only way to find freedom, the only way to be in heaven for eternity worshiping Jesus, the only way for you to be forgiven of your sin is through Jesus. It's the only way. In fact, Jesus says about himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if you're here in this room watching online and maybe you've never fully surrendered your life to Jesus, or maybe you need to surrender again. Like maybe you're even in latter stages of life, but like you need a fresh start. I want to give you that chance. So here's what we're going to do. No one looking, please. Even at home, would you close your eyes if they're not closed? It's focusing on God. But I want to ask you to raise a hand here in a second if you want to surrender your life for the first time or maybe first time in a long time to the Lord. And if there's anybody that raises their hands here or online, I want to lead you in a prayer of surrender. But first, I want to know who I'm praying for. So no one looking but me. But if you're here today and you want to surrender your life to Jesus, would you lift it up? Thank you so much. 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 You can put them down. Hands all over. Respond online as well. It's amazing. It's time to break out. It's time to break out. The many that raised your hand a moment ago, I'm going to lead you in that prayer I just talked about. But here's the cool thing about in-person services again. You will not repeat this by yourself. There's going to be people all over this room, part of our church family. They're going to say this out loud with you. It's awesome. It's what the community of believers should be all about. People coming close to Jesus, coming on home. To those that raised your hand a moment ago and also all the Jesus followers at support, would you say this after me out loud? Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. And thank you for your great mercy. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead. And so right now, in this moment, I ask you to forgive me of all my sin. Jesus, I surrender. Come on, tell them this today. I give you my past. Come on, say that again. I know that's difficult, but if you'll give it to him, he'll take it. Say it again. I give you my past. I give you my present. And I give you my future. I make you the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can somebody shout me down? How awesome is that?
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ, or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcove.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcove.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.